Thank you, Mr. Pramar, fellow Dave. Good afternoon, everyone. It's nice to be here with all of you. Well, summer is in full swing. It's hot and humid, just like a good Ohio summer should be. And when I was a kid, I loved the summer, for obvious reasons, no school. But you had those long evenings, late bedtimes, and a sense of freedom that now, as a middle-aged adult, I can barely remember what that feels like. But for all those benefits of childhood came one drawback in my mind, the Sabbath. Those long summer Sabbaths, getting out of church and having 5 or 6 hours left before sundown, I wanted to get back out there, you know, do stuff, watch movies, play video games, play sports. But no, I had to wait for the Sabbath to end. And maybe some of you kids and teenagers can relate to this feeling. And like most things to kids, I really didn't know what I had when I had it. Because fast forward now to adulthood, and some weeks I slam full speed into Friday sunset, trying desperately to wrap up work, projects, chores, errands, shopping, Sabbath cleaning, all these things before the Sabbath begins. And then just because I stop when the Sabbath starts doesn't mean my mind has stopped. I'm still thinking about all the things I didn't get done or the things I need to do on Sunday, what I did at work, how I left it on Friday. The Sabbath is no longer this endless vacuum. It's more of a speed bump in my week. As children of God, the Sabbath is a sign. It's our sign. It's symbolic of our relationship with God. It's proof of that relationship. So when we put it like that, it seems pretty important. Yet some weeks, we hardly treat it that way. Some Sabbaths, it can be routine. It's a thing we have to do. Sometimes we may feel like we have to endure the obligations. You get up, you clean up, you get in the car, you drive, you get into this room full of people you got to talk to, and you got to sit still for 90 minutes while a couple people talk at you, and then you get to leave. Sometimes it's just a routine. And if you're a kid then, and it's summer, then you get home and you have to wait. Well, this afternoon, I'd like to refocus and recenter us on what the Sabbath means to us and what it does for us. When you look at the word Sabbath, or the Hebrew Shabbat, it's most often translated rest. But it's also just as accurate to translate it stop. The Sabbath is a day we stop. And so this word stop is going to be the center of our message this afternoon. I'm going to use it as an acronym to define 4 ways we can get back on track or stay on track with our Sabbath worship. So the first point, the letter S. The letter S is stop what you're doing. Stop what you're doing. So yes, stop is both the acronym and the thing the S stands for. But when the Sabbath begins, completely stop what you're doing and stop thinking about it. Think about when you watch something on TV. There's a difference between pause and stop, right? When you pause your show, you still see a frame of whatever it was you were watching at the moment you left off. And the show's ready to go again at the touch of a button. It's just a short break. Something may have interrupted you, and you're ready to go again when that interruption is over. But when you're done watching and you stop the show, you might exit out to the menu, you might quit the app, you might turn the device off altogether. And then to resume watching, it takes quite a bit of effort to get back into the context of where you were in the show. So when you come to the Sabbath, are you pausing or are you stopping? Think about that. Because we should strive to fully stop, to stop worrying about what didn't get done or what's coming up next week. Have you ever heard the term being present? The Sabbath is a day to be present, to be fully engaged with the day and all that it has to offer, to put away those thoughts of past and future, and to be mindful of the here and now. Let's open our Bibles and look at Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58, we'll start in verse 13. Now, Isaiah 58 is the cry aloud, spare not chapter. And in this chapter, in the middle of this book, God is imploring his people to get back on track. And in verse 13, he turns his attention to the Sabbath. And this is what he has to say. He says, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord. And then God describes the blessings that follow. Now, I think the New King James is a little bit awkward in the way that it says that to turn away your foot from the Sabbath. Because so often we read about turning away from things like evil, but this isn't that kind of turn away. The New Revised Standard Version begins verse 13 this way. It says, if you refrain from trampling the Sabbath, from pursuing your own interests on my holy day. And so you can see the real meaning here of turning your foot is to not step all over the Sabbath carelessly. We don't keep most of our important things, our prized possessions, on the floor at home where we can step on them and trip over them. We put them up on a shelf where they're protected and visible and honored. And so the Sabbath is meant to be that way. It's meant to be cherished and honored and lifted up, not considered common or unimportant and just kind of kept on our spiritual floor. Now, when you add this passage in Isaiah 58 to the text of the fourth commandment, you can see that God never intended the Sabbath just to be a stop from work day. He intended the Sabbath to be a stop from everything day. Stop serving your own interests, pursuing your own affairs. Stop planning ahead. Stop thinking outside the meaning of the day. And so this first point for the letter S is to stop what you're doing. The second point, the letter T, is turn off outside information. Turn off outside information. Because it's one thing to want to stop thinking about all those other things, but it's another thing entirely when the outside world demands that you continue to think about those things. And so if possible, put your phones on do not disturb. Turn off notifications. Same on your computer. Turn off the TV. Or if you must watch something, be absolutely mindful about your choice. Make sure that what you're watching is in the spirit of the Sabbath and it's not your own pleasure. For the most part, in my opinion, you don't even need to watch the news. The news will be there after the Sabbath is over. And most news isn't information anyway. It's a bunch of emotional content designed to stir you up. It's not especially helpful. Stay off of social media. And again, if you must connect, make sure you're doing it mindfully, connecting with brethren, maybe joining a Bible study on Facebook. That stuff's fine. But all the other stuff, the pictures of cats, the Instagram reels, those will all be there at sunset. I promise you, you won't miss anything. There's a proverb that covers this principle. So let's turn to Proverbs 4. And we'll read verses 23 through 27. Proverbs 4, 23. Now the principles here in this proverb are not specific to the Sabbath, but we can apply them especially on the Sabbath. Proverbs 4, 23, and you can follow along in your Bible, but I'm going to read this from the New Revised Standard Version. Verse 23 says, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. This is that mindfulness we mentioned. Keep your heart. Verse 24, put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. Again, the outside world is so full of this stuff. When we hear crooked speech and devious talk, it infiltrates our minds. And we get down in the mud as well with our thoughts and words. So avoid it. Verse 25, let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Keep straight the path of your feet and all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or the left. Turn away your foot from evil. So all of this shows a mindfulness and a self-control, turning off outside information, turning off those extra influences. And so this is the second step, the letter T. We'll have a much easier time focusing on the Sabbath and all of its benefits and blessings if we turn off outside information. The third point, the letter O, is to offer yourself to God. Offer yourself to God. So as we know, our Christian walk isn't passive. It's active. We're supposed to do things. And so we don't make the Sabbath into just this 24-hour vacuum of nothing. We have to do something. And to do that, we have to offer ourselves to God on the Sabbath day. For this, let's turn over to Romans 12. Romans 12 and verse 1. And again, this is a passage that is not Sabbath specific, but it definitely applies here. It's a helpful mindset for approaching the Sabbath. Romans 12 verse 1, and I will go back to the New King James now. Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world. Again, keep the world out. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So especially on the Sabbath day, we should present ourselves to God a living sacrifice. And so what does this mean for Sabbath keeping? It means we've set aside our wants, our desires, our pleasures, and are instead honoring him by doing what he says and calling the Sabbath a delight. Offerings and sacrifices are about giving something up. As we often review on the holy days when we're giving a holy day offering, we often talk about the heart. It's the heart that truly matters to God. The heart makes the offering. So where is our heart on the Sabbath? Again, do we see the Sabbath activities as obligations or even drudgery? Do we see them as optional? Do we skip out on the things we're commanded to do? Not the gray areas, but even the obvious stuff. Now, when you think about offerings, you can think about the very first offering recorded in the Bible, Cain and Abel. This is in Genesis 4. We know this story. No need to turn there. It's something that even in Sabbath school, I think you learn right at the beginning. But what was the difference between Cain's offering and Abel's offering? You can see the implication as you read it. Abel's heart led him to offer the very best of what he had. And Cain, it looks like, just threw some produce in a pile. When we offer ourselves to God on the Sabbath, we should have the Abel mindset, not the Cain mindset. We don't just dress up and show up to church because we have to. We're not here to endure. It's not he who endures to the end of the sermon shall be saved. We're here because we're privileged to know about the Sabbath. We are privileged to have a calling that the vast majority of all human beings who have ever lived miss out on. They don't get to have it. So let's consider that fact of just how awesome this calling is, that we get to keep the Sabbath, that we even know what it is. Because our God is the God who created the universe. Our God is the God we read about in this Bible. It's all real. It all has meaning. So in that context, the Sabbath is far from routine. It's special. It's a sign between God and his people, and it's an opportunity for us to offer ourselves to God when we come before him. Finally, the fourth point, the letter P, is to praise God. Praise our God. This is that outward expression. This is the fruit of our offering. Because when we've stopped, when we've turned off the outside world, and when we're in a mindset of offering ourselves toward God, we now have the ability to express ourselves. How we feel about this calling. It's a day to praise, to be thankful to the awesome God who made all this possible. So Sabbath isn't a dip in the weekly energy level. It isn't just about rest and sleeping in and recuperating from the week. The Sabbath is the high point of the week. It is easily the most positive day of all 7 days. There are so many ways that we can praise God and be thankful for this. Individually, we can use the time to learn about him, learn how his mind works. We study, we meditate, we observe all the things that he has done in our lives and the lives of others. We read about what he will do in our lives and the lives of others. And we can review our own lives and share those stories with others. That's what fellowship is. We should be talking about what God has done in our lives, how great he is, how he's changed us. We can strengthen each other in that way. And parents, you can do this with your kids. The Sabbath is a great time to discuss all these things. You know, make it interactive. Give and take with your children, not just a Bible lecture. Ask your kids what they're grateful for. Tell them stories about your own experiences and what God has done for you. And also use the Sabbath to observe God's creation. Observe God's creation. The creation can teach us so many things about God in metaphor. You can take walks in nature. This is actually how I beat those long summer Sabbaths as a teenager. I learned to love those long walks. Take walks. Take a drive. Go for a drive in the countryside. Observe animals and nature. Look at nature books. Interact with the wonderful things that God has made. Consider them deeply and meditate on them. Don't just appreciate the surface beauty, but really think about them. And be in awe of how it all works. The being who made all this, who knows exactly how all of this works, is our Father. We are his children. He has so much to teach us if we clear our minds and listen. Now, for this point, Since we're running low on time, you can just jot down Philippians 4, verse 8. Philippians 4, 8, and I'll just read it quickly. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, there it is, the letter P, praiseworthy, and what are we to do with this? We're to meditate on these things. So, brethren, let's continue to examine our approach to the weekly Sabbath. It's far from mundane. It's far from routine. It is an awesome blessing and gift to us from our loving Father. Remember the acronym STOP. As you drive around and you see stop signs, call it to mind. Break it down this way. Stop what you're doing. Turn off outside information. Offer yourself to God and praise Him. Happy Sabbath.